This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about faith that can overcome the crises of life.
I've got some good news and some bad news. Why don't we start with the bad news? The bad news is that everybody in this place today is going to face a crisis situation at some time in your life. A crisis is when you've got something happening in your life, some situation that threatens something that you care about a whole lot, and there's not very much you can do about it. That's when you face a crisis. It might be in your finances. It might be in your health. It might even be in your love life. See, we face those kinds of crises in our lives. Everybody here, from the littlest one to the oldest one, in some way, at some point, is going to have to face a crisis. Now, that's the bad news. Let me tell you what the good news is. The good news is everybody here in this room today is going to face a crisis in your life. That's the good news, praise God. Well, why do I say that's the good news? It's good news because God uses the crises of our lives to qualify us for a higher place in His kingdom. Anybody want to do more for God, to serve Him better, to love Him more, more completely? Amen? If that's the desire of your heart, then guess what? God is going to allow you to go through some crisis situations because that's what He will use to develop you in your walk with Him to a place where He can entrust you with greater responsibility in the kingdom. Think about it. Everybody that had an impact in the Bible went through some kind of crisis. Moses had his crisis when he killed an Egyptian and had to run for his life. Abraham faced a crisis. He heard God say, I want you to take your son and sacrifice him on the altar to me. Don't you think that was a crisis in his life? David faced a crisis. Not only did he have King Saul trying to kill him, he got to a point where his own men wanted to stone him. He faced crises in his life. The Apostle Paul, one of my favorite people. Paul had more crises than you can count. He got whipped. He got stoned. He got shipwrecked on the ocean. I mean, he went through all kinds of things. There was one time when they had to let him down the wall of the city to get out of Damascus because the king wanted to kill him. Just all kinds of crises in his life. And here's the biggest one of all. Think about a garden in Jerusalem, the Garden of Gethsemane, and there's a man there down on his face before God saying, God, if there's any way that you can take this cross from me, take it. Jesus himself had to go through his own crisis. The scripture says it was by going through that crisis and being obedient through that crisis that he became the perfect Savior and deliverer for his people. You see, all of us, God is going to have to take us through a crisis, one crisis or more crises in our lives in order to prepare us, in order to test us, in order to temper us, so that we are ready for him to use. And here's the key. It's necessary to go through those crises because God has got to test you before he can use you. God's got to test you. He's got to know what's really there. He's got to know if you'll stand up under the pressure. One of the things they teach pastors is this. Before you appoint somebody to a place of high responsibility in the church, you need to see how they handle pressure. You need to see what they do when things don't go their way. You need to see how they handle it. And here's the big one. You need to see how they handle it when they get upset and offended with the pastor. And only when they make it through that crisis do you know you can trust them. We've had some people here, praise God. And I say, praise God. Got offended at somebody and decided because they were offended, this is not the place they wanted to be. And I say, praise God. Because we found out what was in them before we put them in a place where they could do damage to the church. You see, you have to go through some kind of crisis to prove who you really are. You don't know who you are until you have to face the crisis. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you would do when the pressure is really on until God takes you through some things and you stand up under the pressure. And you stay true to him. And once you do that, then you know. Well, we began last week looking at the stories of two people who faced major crises in their lives. One of them was a man named Jairus, whose daughter was dying. And another was a woman who for 12 years had had a sickness in her body that caused her to bleed all the time. And understand, in that society at that time, if you were a woman and you were in the state where you were bleeding, you were unclean. You could not associate with anybody. And that meant for 12 years, this woman had been isolated and alone, going to every doctor she could find and nobody could help her. She had a crisis in her life. And they came to Jesus one day. You remember the story. Jairus came and he said, Jesus, my daughter is at home. She's dying. Please come. I know you can help her. And Jesus starts off to go to help his daughter. But along the way, this woman says within her heart, oh, I've tried everything else. But I am convinced if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And so she kind of sneaked up on him. Because remember, she wasn't supposed to be there in the crowd. She wasn't supposed to be around people. That was a punishable offense. So she kind of sneaked up on him and reached out and touched his garment. And Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And his disciples looked at him. No, Lord, I know you're the Lord, but wait a minute. You got this whole crowd. Everybody is touching you and jostling you. Jesus said, I felt power flow out of me. And the woman came, and the scripture says she was trembling, and she told him the whole story about all of those 12 years and how she went from doctor to doctor, did everything that she could. Ladies, I don't want to offend any of you, but you all can tell a story, can't you? Amen. You know, a man says, just give me the bottom line. You know, Lord, I touched you, I got healed. Amen. Now, she told a whole story. Now, the reason I go into that is, here is Jairus. His daughter is dying. This woman is telling her story from 12 years back. And Jesus is standing there listening to it. And while she's telling her story, just about the time she gets to the end, somebody finally comes and says, Jairus, leave the master alone. Your daughter is dead. I don't know what was in Jairus' heart, but he probably wanted to kill this woman. Oh, if she had just let him come, he would have got there on time. But understand, Jesus knew what he was doing. Amen? He knew what he was doing. Now think about this. What was it that made the difference in the woman's life? There are people all over town sitting in church this morning that have prayed for God to do something about a situation in their life, and they never got an answer. What's going on? Well, it's the same situation as with this woman. There she was. She touched Jesus. Something happened for her. But dozens of other people were also touching him. What was the difference? Why did she get healed and nobody else got healed? Look at verse 48 of Luke chapter 8. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. What was the difference? He felt the touch of faith. He felt the touch of faith. All the rest of those touches, don't tell me those people didn't have something going on in their lives that they needed God to do for them. Don't tell me that there were not other people in that crowd who needed to be healed. But she is the one that touched him with the touch of faith. In his earthly human mind, Jesus didn't even know what was going on. She touched him and automatically the power flowed into her body to heal her. It was like opening the water tap. When you turn on that tap, you don't have to even say anything to the water tap. All you do is turn it and the water flows. That's what happened to Jesus. Isn't this awesome? That's the power of faith. Jesus said, it's your faith that has healed you. And so the thing that made the difference in this woman's life, the thing that overcame the crisis in her life, was faith. She made a direct faith connection to Jesus. Look at what happened to Jairus. Jairus came and said, Jesus, come. And before Jesus could get there, his daughter died. Look at verse 50 of Luke chapter 8. When that happened, look at what Jesus said. Look at what Jesus told Jairus. This is the way, Jairus, that you're going to overcome this crisis. Luke chapter 8, verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid. Only do what? Only believe, and she will be made well. His daughter was stone dead. She was dead. But when the report came, Jesus said, Jairus, here's your way to overcome the crisis of your situation. Just believe. Whatever kind of crisis you got going on in your life, whatever kind of crisis you're going to face tomorrow, because there will be a crisis in some tomorrow in your life. Whatever is going on, if he can say, if she's already dead and you believe, I can fix it. Don't you think he can fix whatever's going on in your life? Don't you think that if he can raise somebody from the dead because of your faith, whatever's happening in your life, he can handle it. Praise God. He can handle it. You see, the key issue, the thing that allows you to overcome the crises in your life is your faith. Go over to Mark 11. Look at verses 22 through 24. Look at how this thing works. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them, and what will happen? And you will have them. Do you see it? Do you see the promise? Jesus says, whatever the crisis in your life, the way that you deal with it, the way you can overcome it is with your faith in God. He's saying you got to believe and not doubt. What do you think is the devil's number one priority in the life of a Christian? He knows you're already saved now. He can't get you to hell. You know what the number one thing he wants you to do? Get up off your faith. Get up off your faith in God. The devil will use any circumstance he can to try to pull down your faith. Amen? To try to get you to doubt. To try to get you looking at the circumstance instead of looking at God. Why? Because he knows if you stay on your faith, you're going to overcome this crisis. You're going to come through this crisis victorious. It looks bad now. That's the way crises are. If it doesn't look bad, it's not a crisis yet. If you can see your way clear, you're not yet in a crisis. It's when you get to the point where it looks as dark as it can possibly look and you cannot see your way out of it. That's when you're in a crisis, and that's when God is saying, now's my opportunity. Hallelujah. Now's my opportunity to show them what I can do that nobody else can do if they'll just stay on their faith. Catch it. This woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment and the power to heal her flowed like opening a water tap. Faith unleashes the power of God into your circumstance. Faith turns on the flow of God's power into whatever crisis or challenge you are facing in your life. But look at the other side of that. Faith turns on the flow. Unbelief and doubt will block it. Unbelief and doubt will block the flow of God's power into your life. Look at how Jesus handled the situation when he got to Jairus' house. Before the report even came that the girl is dead, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He already knew what he was going to do. But look how he handled it. First place, when he got to the house, he only took in with him Peter, James, and John, plus the mother and the father. He left everybody else, even the rest of the disciples, outside. And then when he got in the house, there was a crowd in there, and they're wailing and moaning how bad she's dead. Poor girl, oh, the father and the mother, oh. Jesus says, shut up, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. And it says they laughed him to scorn. So what did he do? He put them out too, amen. Because what was he doing? He was getting all of the unbelief out of the room. He's saying, if you can't believe, get out. Go over to Mark chapter 6. Look at verses 5 and 6. One day Jesus went home to his hometown. And they thought, well, this is just the carpenter's son. Who does he think he is? Look at what happened. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Now, do you catch this? I mean, do you really see the significance of this? Who is Jesus? The Son of the living God. He has but to speak and it's done. But he went home among his own people. And catch what it said now. This is the word. It did not say that he didn't do any mighty works there. What did it say? He could not do any mighty works there. Why? Because of the power of unbelief. Because of the power of unbelief. Let me tell you something. If you are facing a crisis or a challenge in your life and you are determined to walk in faith toward God so that God's power will flow in your life to overcome that challenge, there may be some people that you have to stay away from. There may be some people because of their negativism and their unbelief, always talking about the problem and how bad it is, always showing doubt about your ability to be an overcomer. There may be some people you just need to stay away from so that their doubt does not block the flow of God and his power in your life. When you face a crisis, you have a choice. Will you go toward faith or will you go toward doubt? If you go toward faith, strengthening your faith, drawing closer to God, then the power of God will flow in your life and you will overcome. You know that I went to Denver a few weeks ago now. Let me tell you something. It was a hard trip for me. And the reason it was hard, I had a suitcase. And when I travel, I take books. I make sure I take a tape recorder. Make sure I take a lot of tapes because I know in hotel rooms, you know, there's not going to be very much Christian stuff available. So I make sure I got my, in other words, this thing was heavy. And I think it's a law of nature. When you get to the airport, whatever flight you're on is going to be the one that's at the far end of the longest concourse. And so I got my carry-on luggage on one hand, and I got my heavy luggage on the other hand, and I'm trying to make it. You know, I got my knee here. And so, man, I must have looked like Peg Leg Pete, you know. It was hard. Now, the point of it is this. Because I had no choice, I got out there and I went through all of that hurt and pain. Carrying that thing. I did that going out there, and then I had to do the same thing coming back. But by the time I got back, you know what? I was starting to feel pretty good. The knee wasn't hurting as much. And in fact, the next day I got back and I went and I got out on the track. You know? Amen? Now catch it. What happened? I faced a challenge. I faced a situation that I would not have chosen to face. But because of that situation, I had to go through all of that physical exertion that I wasn't used to, that my knee was not used to. It was paining me. I would have stopped if I could. But because I didn't stop, because I stayed with it, I came out of it better than I was when I went in. I was brought to a higher level, able to do more than I was able to do before I ever faced that challenge. And that's what God wants to happen in your life. When He brings you face to face with a crisis situation, His design, His plan is never that the crisis will get you. His design and His plan is you will face the crisis, you will do what you have to do, walking with Him in faith, and you will come out of it better than when you went in. We've been talking about faith. Well, we need to ask this question. What is it? What is that kind of faith that will cause the power of God to flow into your situation and cause you to overcome your crisis? Well, first of all, understand this. It does not have to be perfect faith. Go over to Mark chapter 9. Look at verses 23 and 24. There was a boy who was afflicted with a devil. And the disciples of Jesus tried to cast the demon out, tried to heal him, and they couldn't do it. And when Jesus finally came up, the father said, "Jesus, if you can do anything, please, please do it, if you can." And you know what Jesus said? "If I can." Verse 23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." See, that's it. That's the bottom line. That's number one. Jesus said, if you can only believe, if in the midst of your crisis, you can hang on to your faith, keep believing in God, not go off into doubt and unbelief, but trust the God who has already given His Son for you. There is nothing that's impossible. Now look at what happened next. Verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Do you see it? What's he saying? He's saying, "Lord, I want to believe. I'm trying to believe. Help me. Help my unbelief." He didn't have perfect faith. He had to say, "Jesus, I'm doing the best to have faith that I know how to do, but you got to help me even to have the faith." You can call on Jesus to give you the faith you need. Amen? Your faith doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be that no doubt ever crosses your mind, but you can't allow that doubt to nest in your mind. Amen. No. You, when the doubt comes, you deal with it. But understand, your faith does not have to be perfect. Jairus and his wife did not have perfect faith. Remember when Jesus healed this girl and she was brought back to life? It says they were astonished. What does that mean? They weren't sure this was going to happen. Amen? I mean, Jesus said, "Believe," and they were doing the best they could to believe, but when it really happened, they were going, "Oh, wow!" So your faith does not have to be perfect. In fact, look at Luke 17:6. Let me show you just how much faith you need to have. Luke 17:6. So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." You know how big a mustard seed is? Itty bitty. Amen? Jesus said, that's all the faith you need. It's not the amount of faith you have. It's the quality of that faith, and it's who your faith is in. Amen? Catch it. Jesus redefined reality. The reality to him was not that this girl is dead. Because when you're dead, what? You're dead. Amen? So he did not even see her as dead. Why? Because he knew the Word of God. He based his reality not on what his eyes saw, what his ears heard. They're saying she's dead. No, no. His reality was the word of God says she will live. And that's reality. So faith is defining reality based on God's word rather than on the evidence of your senses. Do you know when you face your crisis, it's going to look like you're going down? And if you base your reality on what you see and what you hear and what other people are telling you, you will not receive the flow of God's power into that situation. And you will go down. You don't have any money. But God says that he will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How do you define the reality of your situation? Are you poor? Or are you just a prosperous person who doesn't happen to have money right now? Amen. Praise God. Amen. You see, you need to let the word of God define reality for you rather than what you see and rather than what you hear. Do you believe what you see or do you believe what God says? That's the key issue. Because understand this, either way, you will get what you believe. Do you get it? If you believe the word of God, you'll get what the word promises you. Praise God. But if you believe what you see, that's what you get. Now, understand, I'm not saying that you can just believe any old thing you want to. If you could believe any old thing you want to, how many of us would be millionaires today? Amen. Amen. After-tax millionaires. No, no, that's not what the scripture is saying. You can't just haul off and believe any old thing you want to believe and God is somehow obligated to do it for you. No, that's not what he's talking about. What's he saying? If God has said it, then you have a right to it and you can believe God to receive it. Amen? If God said it, you have a right to it. And if you'll just stand on the word of God, God says, I'll bring you through the crisis to the other side. You'll be better than you ever were, and you will be more fit to be used in the kingdom of God. If you're in a crisis today, if you're facing a challenge today, the devil is doing everything he can to discourage you and to pull down your faith and to doubt and unbelief, and you need to stand against him. The word says what? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. If there's somebody in your life that doesn't really believe in you, you just got to say, I'm going to listen not to what they say, but what? I'm going to listen to the word of God. If there's somebody in your life that's always talking you down, talking down the situation, talking you down the ability to overcome in that situation, you just got to shut them out. I'm not listening to that mess. I'm listening to what God said in his word. Because if God said it, I can have it.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.